We are giving you now the official names. For position of president, first name is that of President Cyril Ramaphosa, and second one is that of Dr. Zwelinye Mkhize.
At conference itself, there will be an opportunity for delegates to nominate from the floor.
Will the NEC be dominated by men? I think hardly.
The challenges that face the ANC today from a point of view of discipline within the members of the ANC themselves.
So whether we like it or not, the ANC is the governing party, and whatever happens in the ANC affects the country. And that is why we are bringing you this podcast. Whether you like the ANC or you don't like the ANC, we are all counting down to the much anticipated conference after the 2017. What was it? Was the watershed one in 2007? I don't know what they've themed this. They've themed this renewal, but we will see. And we will unpack all of that in our podcast series. For this first episode, I am joined by City Press political editor Rapule Tabane, and today we are going to be breaking down the numbers that were announced by former President Kgalema Motlanthe. These are the people that have been eligible to be voted at the conference when it starts on the 16th of December, right, Raps? So Rapula and I are going to be discussing the numbers, are going to be discussing the names. There are also surprises there. We are also going to be discussing that. This past Sunday, we reported that President Cyril Ramaphosa is leading the ANC race by a mile, despite the Palapala scandal. This was confirmed by the ANC's nomination lists, where Ramaphosa leads Zweli Mkhize. And we have since found out that it doesn't look like there is even a competition, because he's sitting at about 2,000 while Zweli is at 900. And this paints a picture of what the final showdown will look like at the conference. There's also other numbers that we will discuss. But I think, Raps, let's just start with President Cyril Ramaphosa. When I was looking at the numbers, there were no surprises there to see that he only got about 60 from KwaZulu-Natal, and Zweli looks like he got the bulk of his numbers from KZN. Obviously, there are no surprises there.
No, completely no surprises there that Zweli Mkhize got such an overwhelming number in KwaZulu-Natal, because the province has been quite united around his candidacy. They've been a bit uncertain about the rest of the other positions, but as for the presidency, they were quite determined that they should be a united front. And then, but the disadvantage for Zweli Mkhize and his campaigners was the fact that it was always clear that they didn't have a good enough footprint in the rest of the country.
Yes.
Got nine provinces, and he got, Zweli Mkhize got about 600 nominations from KwaZulu-Natal. So it means from the rest of the eight provinces, he only got around 300 more nominations.
Yeah. So you can see that in the Northern Cape, he got nothing. In Western Cape, he got two.
Yes. So maybe it's too soon, but the numbers do suggest that Ramaphosa is going to walk this this race. But however, there's still time now. We are 3.5 weeks before the conference starts.
Yeah.
There's still an opportunity for all other candidates to go around lobbying to try and increase their numbers. So Zweli Mkhize has the same opportunity, but it's a completely uphill battle for him.
I mean, you mentioned the fact that mainly his campaign seemed to have been strong in KZN, and we've seen like the talks that he's given when he started were mainly in KZN, like you have rightfully mentioned. And you are saying that we are now left with about 3 weeks. Do you think that in these 3 weeks there is still something that he can do to convince other provinces?
I doubt it very much. I doubt that he could actually surpass
Ramaphosa.
He could do well and maybe increase his numbers by 500 more branches and whatever, but that would still not be enough. I think maybe what he and other people can hope for is that out of the parliamentary panel on Palapala, there can be a ruling that Ramaphosa has a case to answer. And in that case, if the ANC decides that because of that he shouldn't stand, that's what Zweli Mkhize maybe can start looking at. But in terms of overturning these figures, it's almost impossible.
But also that wraps, I mean, we know how these processes take. I mean, the panel in parliament has asked for an extension to Thursday, next week Thursday, and that would literally mean that he's left with about 2 weeks. So we know if his supporters are probably relying on the Palapala thing to be wrapped out, it's likely that maybe we might see that being wrapped out later in December, even after the conference, or, you know, I don't see how even that can work to their advantage, but we'll see how that goes. I just want us to also move to the other candidates in the presidency race. We saw Nkosazana Zuma, she tried for the second time. She lost out to CR, of course, in 2017, and she had come out to say that she's putting up her hand. In fact, in the last NEC meeting, we colleagues were reporting that she was one of the quite vocal in the meeting around the issues of Palapala. What does this say about also, I mean, I know we've spoken about this, but what also does this say about the women in the ANC, the women in the branches of the ANC, that we see again that she's trying out for the second time. This time around, she is not even eligible.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting point, because she's not alone. There's also Lindiwe Sisulu, who's another woman who was trying.
In fact, both of them were trying for the second time around.
Yeah, both of them. And they were really determined. But, you know, the ANC works in very opaque ways that are not always obvious. So it always comes down to your campaign managers, the people who are running your campaign, how they are able to negotiate with each province and all of that. Because if you look at, for example, I know we're going to discuss the deputy presidency later, but if you look at Mashatile, for example, what he did was to make sure that he moved from Gauteng and got the Gauteng PC to talk to KZN, to talk to Limpopo, which are the other big provinces.
Yeah.
And once he had those provinces supporting him, he then started moving to the other provinces. So it's also how you go about your campaign. But I think we've got to be honest, the ANC needs to relook the issue of gender and ask themselves if they're serious about this, because for the fact that the two female candidates can't even make it to the ballot, I mean, that's really, really disappointing. And as everyone can tell you, the majority of people who are active in the ANC branches are women. So that's very hard to explain. I don't know if it's the fact that they're not interested in that, or, like I said, it's about how the ANC operates and the people who manage your campaign, and the people who understand how the machinery works.
Have you felt though, Raps? Have you felt Lindiwe and Nkosazana's campaign? Yeah, we've seen Zweli going up and about in KZN. We'll come back a little bit later to chat about Cyril's campaign. But have you felt, I mean, outside of the media interviews that they have done, and I know Lindiwe Sisulu has done a couple of talks in the Western Cape, but have you felt that their campaign was quite strong and that they were just going out and lobbying outside of, I mean, I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but just in the public where you will see that she's speaking here or she's, you know?
No, and I think we've also got to be honest about that. And an issue has also been the fact that Nkosazana Dlamini, she started very late. She started maybe 2 months ago, when everyone else had been on this thing since the year started, and they had planned it from the years before. And she only also threw a statement by former husband Jacob Zuma, who was the one trying to organize support for her. So there was never a sense that there were people that we know as journalists who were working the ground for her. And it was the same with Sisulu. There could be people that you could talk to who were claiming to be running her campaign, but you never got a sense that they were moving around the country. They were talking to regions, they were talking to branches, they were talking to provinces. So you always had the voice of the main candidate coming out, but you didn't have a sense, because with Cyril, with Zweli, there were people that we knew who were the ground troops running around that you could talk to, and that who could refer us to the work that they had done. But with NDZ and Sisulu, I didn't always get a sense that I knew their ground troops and where they were doing. So they do need to revisit how they conduct their campaigning, the ANC.
You say they need to revisit. I mean, do you think we can see a third time lucky type of a situation? Or, I mean, I'm thinking, is this not the end? I mean, even looking into outside of the ANC processes, into maybe Cyril is appointed and, you know, even in cabinet.
I mean, there's also the age factor.
Because it's
another 5 years from now, and they are not getting any younger. But I think if the ANC is really serious about having a woman president, at some point they actually have to decide and say the next president of the ANC will be a woman, and then allow women only to contest for the position. So you almost take it like a conference resolution and say,
yeah,
it has to be a woman. And so I wouldn't know if Nkosana Dlamini Zuma or Lindiwe Sisulu would contest, but they would, as well as any other women who come to the front and contest. But I do think the ANC has to declare this a policy statement and say, this is the route we are taking. It has to happen by hook or by crook. Otherwise, it doesn't look like it's going
to
happen.
It doesn't at all. I mean, we need to move reps, but just a second on Cyril's campaign. I mean, there were people even on social media who were saying that they haven't seen him quite campaigning, and that they feel that he's using like government platforms as a way of campaigning. I mean, you were talking about ground troops and stuff like that, and then there were also like the Chris Anikabal, the Mondli Nkukubelas and stuff like that. But him, did you feel that him personally, was he working the ground, or he sort of like left it to the Chris Anikabal to work it with him along with Derek Anikom?
No, I don't think he worked the ground as much as he could have done. But he's very fortunate because he's an incumbent. And he's also the president of government, and therefore gets access to platforms that the rest of the other candidates don't have. And that's why there was an allegation that there was an abuse of government platforms for ANC things. And to be honest, that has always been the case with all other ANC presidents before. When you are incumbent, you take advantage of your incumbency to your advantage.
And then if we move to the deputy president, I think with this conference, there's been quite a name in a lot of, you know, names that were thrown around. But I guess now this is the real business, where you actually see the people that were really serious about this. Because I'm thinking, even there was a joke a few months ago that, you know, e deputy presidency ilahlile, because every name was just thrown there. But let's, before we speak about some of the candidates that had come out, we see Mashatile is leading there. We see Lamula, we see Mabuyane. Interestingly, with Lamula, there's always been the thing of generational and younger people coming into the top six. But if we look at the numbers, it doesn't look like that is going to be the deal. And Mashatile is called Trinity. It looks like he really worked the ground.
Yes. There's also the allegation in reference to your point about Trinity, to the fact that he was also the acting secretary general, but also there was no Deputy Secretary General. Mm. So he was also, in effect, also occupying that position. So he was Treasurer General, Secretary General, yeah. Deputy Secretary General. So there was, in fact, people in the ANC who complained that he was abusing those platforms to benefit himself. So we don't know if he did or he didn't, but it looks like whatever he did,
it worked.
It really did work. Although in the last few days, there's been talk that KZN has decided to review their support for him because they feel that he's much closer to the Cyril Ramaphosa presidency campaign than he is to Zweli Mkhize, and therefore that they should be looking for someone else. But to be honest, if the numbers, if you were to look at the numbers now, even if you removed 600 votes,
KZN has about 521 for him.
Yeah, if you remove those, it would still be in a very strong position. And you also have no guarantee that all of the KZN people would turn against him.
Yeah.
So he really has. He's also got the highest numbers of any other candidates for any other position in the top six outside of Ramaphosa.
Mm, mm.
So it's good going for him.
Whatever he was doing in those positions definitely worked for him. Interesting that we are looking at numbers, and I see that Oscar Mabuyane only got, you know, nominations from the Eastern Cape, 390, and in KZN he only got one vote. No surprises there. But I mean, also just linking it to the issue we were speaking about earlier about, you know, the ANC being serious about, you know, a woman president, or being serious about women occupying other positions in the top six outside of the deputy general secretary. Also the issue of young people, because Lamola was kind of like riding on that wave that, you know, he's young and the generational mix. But you can see that, you know, the numbers are saying a different thing.
I think Lamola, if he was being pushed, for example, by the Youth League, if the Youth League was existing properly, because it's not existing properly at the moment, it's an interim structure. If he was being pushed very strongly by the Youth League as the generational mixed candidate, maybe could have done better. But for now, he was being supported by the Mpumalanga ANC province, and his numbers are a reflection of Mpumalanga rather than that ticket of generational mix. Mm. So I think they spoke about it, but they didn't invest in it. There was no proper strategy. They just were highlighting it to the media and to the rest of society, but there was no proper
plan. When it comes to the implementation, it's not there, you know? I mean, I think before we move from this, I mean, we saw with Mamulu Kokubai, I covered that story earlier on. She was one of the people that, you know, she was nominated by her branch to say, you know, we are ready to see her. But I mean, by the time things started getting serious, you could see that her name had really just fizzled out. She was in no slate. You couldn't locate her. I don't know. It's unfortunate, or, you know, but again, it speaks to what you were saying about women and the ANC.
Yes. She was also unfortunate in the sense that she comes from Gauteng and she had not won the support of Gauteng province, because what we've seen over the years is that in the ANC, you've got to have a provincial base first, although it's not universal. But most of the time, you need one province to push you. So by the time she wanted to come in, ANC in Gauteng had already opted for Mashatile.
Mm.
So she was a bit late. So, but there were women who were pushing her, but it's unfortunate that it's actually, to be honest, quite disappointing that she's not even in the top three. I was expecting that
I think her campaign even didn't take off. I think from the time she was announced, I know she was speaking a lot where she was speaking, but I never saw it taking off. I was not surprised that her name was not here. I did not expect it to be here, to be quite honest, because from earlier on, it seemed when things started getting serious outside of people just pronouncing that we want this, I never saw it to be strong and, you know, having steam.
I think she's still one for the future.
She still has time.
And
then the position of national chairperson. I remember there was a time when about a few months ago when people were asking Gwede Mandashe, why is he wanting to come back and considering his age and all of those things. And he did give some explanation. But we are seeing there that Commander Action... Commander Action is coming in very hard. I mean, I think for me also some of these names that are coming out, you know, I think this list just confirms already what was already out there. You could see where the support is, right? So it kind of like gives it the official stamp. But I mean, Stan was already, you could see that he was in it.
You are quite correct about that, because remember, ANC Limpopo were the first ones to start. Remember, in January 8 already, they were already pronouncing that they are going to support Stan to go for national chair. And so this was the ANC Limpopo. But what they did, as we discussed earlier, was that they didn't just decide that as Limpopo, this is what we are doing. They also went to KZN. They went to Gauteng and said, this is our candidate. Mm. And I think that's where he started getting his foothold in. And since then, he's never look back.
Are you surprised that Gwede didn't get as much support? I am actually not surprised.
I think he will be surprised. Because he's the incumbent.
Yes.
And he's a government minister. He's more well known than Stan Matabata. And I'm sure he thinks he's been doing a good job, he would be wondering why it didn't happen.
He would be surprised. Yeah, surprisingly. I mean, I'm not surprised by his numbers, though, that he got the highest numbers from his home province and the Northern Cape, right? And I think what you've been speaking about, KZN and Limpopo working together, you can see even in the numbers, Western got most of the numbers.
Mm.
And David Masondo really coming. I mean, I also didn't feel his presence. But I guess with national chair, of all the other candidates, I never felt that they campaigned strongly.
Yes.
I think it was just a thing of negotiations behind closed doors and stuff.
And I think David Masondo also belongs to the generational mix.
Because
he's young, but he also started way after Matabata and Mandashe had already started. I don't think he should be too disappointed with 500 nominations. Maybe it may even go up at the national conference. Ultimately, it's about your foot soldiers going around, going to other regions, other provinces, campaigning for you. And I don't think Masondo had that kind of structure him.
And then coming to the engine of the organization, possibly maybe the most important position here, the position of Secretary General. A lot has happened in that position. Ace Makhwashule step aside. Even in 2017, it started there at Nasrec with Mchunu thinking that he was the secretary, and then Ace Makhwashule, and then now with Paul taking over, there's just been a lot that has happened in that. Obviously now, I think the organization needs a structure in that position, and it needs a strong secretary, maybe post Mandashe. I don't think you can count Ace's term, really. And it's interesting there, and for me, what is interesting is Mdumiseni, because, I mean, you could see on social media that there are a lot of people who are obviously the Twitter branch doesn't really count, but some of those people do sit in branches. There were a lot of people who were saying that this is a guy with a good head on his shoulders. He can actually do a lot of good in that position. But there were also those who were like, what has he done in KZN? But also the thing about him was also that thing of him saying that I am not attached to any slate. I am going at it alone. And his province not supporting him. Actually, the KZN only gave him 241 votes. But he has emerged as leading.
Yeah. No, this is a very interesting one, because initially he was believed to be on the Cyril Ramaphosa slate, but at a later stage, when that slate was formalized, his name was no longer there. You know, like you're talking about how people describe him as having a good head on his shoulders. To be honest, I also don't know of anyone who has articulated the idea of renewal better than him. You know, he when he speaks, you feel the conviction, the belief, and the sincerity in what he thinks the ANC should be. Mm. And I think that's what a lot of ANC people were saying. In fact, from early this year, on social media, people were distributing a lot of videos where he had been interviewed.
Mm.
So people became quite convinced that he's the guy, despite the fact that he was a KZN, his home province, actually threw him out.
Mm.
You know, he was outvoted as secretary of the province, and they also decided not to support him for this national post. But I think by himself, he really gained a lot of traction nationally. And
I think for me, what's very interesting about him, Raps, is that, you know, the PEC obviously had their own candidate in mind, but it also speaks to what, at the end of the day, it's branches that decide, because he got a lot of votes from KZN, 241 votes, followed by 204 votes from Limpopo and 236 votes from, so actually got the highest numbers from KZN, even though the PEC had announced Phumulo Masualle, that it would be supporting Phumulo Masualle. So this actually speaks to that. The branches at the end of the day make their own decision.
Yes. And it actually speaks to the work that he had done in the province in the last 5 years, and it shows that whatever the guys at the top had decided, he had done the groundwork over time, and people believe in him. So, you know, he must still be tested, we will see, but he speaks well so far.
Articulate.
But will that be enough? We'll have to see. But his position is really unique because he's probably the only candidate who has not been officially nominated by a province who's managed to
actually
do so well
that's
for
very,
themselves.
And I mean, obviously, Fikile, he's trying again. He tried in Mangaung and he failed.
Yes.
He's trying again now, but obviously it seems like there was a video that was circulating earlier this week where Andile Lungisa was speaking about the arrogance of numbers, and that it's really about it's a numbers game, and
yes,
he doesn't look like he has garnered enough support from the numbers that we are seeing here.
To be honest, I was even surprised when the CR22 slate announced him as their candidate, when they already had a very capable guy
in Ndumiseni.
In Ndumiseni. So I'm not sure what was the consideration there, although I later heard they said it was about geographical spread. They wanted someone from the Free State.
Yeah. I mean, Free State gave him 98 votes.
Yeah. You see, he doesn't even have that support from his home base. But also, Fikile has been around a lot. We've heard him. Fikile has everything to say virtually on a daily basis, and I think people have a sense of who he is.
Looking at the office and looking at his character and what we've been exposed to. Well, not us, because we are not voting, but what people have been exposed to.
Yeah, like within Ndumiseni, you would want to say, this guy looks convincing. Let's give him a chance. Let's see.
Mm.
But with Mbalula, it's the exact opposite. It's like, we know this guy. We know he talks a lot.
And also, I always say that every office, Raps, has decorum. You know, every office has. So Ndumiseni does give those vibes of he has the decorum of that office. Whereas with Mbaks, you're like, I mean, he also spoke about that people were saying that he must stop going to Cubana, or he must stop going to these places of drinking. But anyway, and then Maswale has been quite vocal about his boss in the cabinet, and I don't know whether that has worked on his favor or not. But he's also just been like, you know, vele wavumbuluka nje out of nowhere, and you know, kwathwa uMaswale is after, you know, losing that conference in the Eastern Cape, he was quite like, you know, just a cabinet guy, and you'd kind of like forgotten about him, deputy minister, and then suddenly we have Vumbuluka, he wants to be the Secretary General.
Yes. So Maswale is also an interesting guy. He's quite soft-spoken, but he does have a lot of depth. I've spoken to him. But what undermined his campaign was that he really believed that the Eastern Cape would push his numbers very high. But looks like the Eastern Cape, they also had other ideas about who they wanted. So he was overconfident about what the numbers he could get from the Eastern Cape. And I actually think he could have done better in reaching out to the other provinces, both the state, Gauteng, Limpopo. I didn't get a sense that whoever was pushing him was doing enough in the other provinces. They really believed that as long as they could get KZN and Eastern Cape, they would have a solid base.
Yeah.
And it looked like from both, they just didn't get enough. There was support, but not enough to propel him to where he could be.
Yeah. So we have to round it up, and we are left with about two positions, and I would want us to just maybe speak to them at one go. And I think let's, in this DSG position, obviously, you know, it was also left vacant following the passing of Jesse Duarte. And we know this is probably one of the positions that has been held by a woman. And we see here that the only candidates are women, Mokonyane and Potgieter. Actually, and are you surprised? I'm quite surprised by Nomvula, though. You know, I think her people have been working the ground, because she's also just the one whose name just has emerged now when other people had long been saying that, you know.
I'm also equally surprised because Nomvula Mokonyane was out of the spotlight for a while after she didn't get a cabinet post. She was working in Lithuli House, but some people say that's where she got to exert her influence, because she was in direct contact with branches there, because she was head of organizing. So, unfortunately, again, it looks like the ANC seems to believe that the only position that is fit for women in the ANC is the Deputy Secretary General post, because the two who have met the threshold are female, which is quite sad.
I mean, but Nomvula is quite experienced, very charismatic. I think she'll probably work well with Dumisane in that office.
Yes. No, she's...
If they do emerge.
Yeah, she's not called Mama Action
for nothing.
She really is highly energetic. She speaks most languages fluently.
Very articulate as well. I think for the TG position, really, I would want us to speak about Chauke. I mean, we know him as the advisor of the president. There's been stories that have been written about him being one of the people who brought the dollars that are now subject of, you know, the Palapala dollars. But I mean, yeah, he's also another one who just vumbulukad.
He did, because he also came onto this position much later than other people. Suddenly, he was the CR22 candidate. He would be very interesting, because I've met him. He's a very quiet guy.
Yeah.
To me, he's not even like a politician in that sense of the word. He's maybe he would be great as a bureaucrat, because he likes working behind scenes. I don't see him going out there addressing crowds and whatever. So he was a bit of a surprise. The fact that I didn't think he's as well known
Yeah,
for him to actually be leading in this position. But I do think that a discussion must have happened about someone who had the most potential to actually raise money.
Because that office needs someone who's going to raise money to pay staff.
Yes, yes. So he's very close to Ramaphosa. He's the advisor. And in the CR17 financial issues, his name was there as one of the people who were working for Ramaphosa. So I think there's actually a belief that in his own way, he'd be able to raise money. But, I don't see him as one of those politicians at
the typical
a mass rally somewhere. Viva.
Maybe you don't need a person who's going to address a rally. You need someone who's going to campaign to get money for the Nantsika. I mean, Masina and Pule. I mean, Pule had already said that he's quite capable for the job, but I mean, Masina also has his own problems that he needs to solve here in the province with his party, and I guess Pule, hard luck. Unless some miracle happens.
But you've got to say this is the closest race of the top six. The Treasurer General, the numbers, there's not huge margins of differences there. So I think anything can happen between now and December. Because he Chauke leads by just over 100 votes, about 130 over Pule Mabe, and then there's Masina there. We will be watching that one.
Maybe just one last question, Raps, and then we really wrap this. Do you think that we can expect some surprises, some nominations coming from the floor? Some surprises, or this is actually really the people that we are going to NASREC with, that the ANC is going to NASREC with?
I would say there will definitely be attempts to raise some names from the floor. You know, I think, for example, in the deputy presidency position, we've said KZN are trying to look for their own candidate to support. So I think they'll probably come up with their own name to raise there. But my suspicion is that these numbers are very telling, and this is most likely what's going to be the outcome.
Contrary to popular belief that Jacob Zuma is popular and everyone loves him, and I mean, he wanted to become the chairperson, but he didn't even meet the threshold.
I mean, he overestimated his influence.
And I
think branches were very clear that even KZN branches, which have always loved him and supported him, made it clear that you had your turn, you were president for two terms. You know, why would you want to come back in some other position?
Thank you so much, Raps. Really enjoyed that conversation, and hopefully our listeners and readers are going to find it enlightening and enriching. That brings us to the end of our first episode, our limited podcast series, ANC Decides. You know, don't critique us. This is our first episode. Don't be too hard. We are going to be running this podcast every week as we are nearing close to the conference. Watch out for next week. We are also going to be having a guest here discussing, obviously, the ANC conference. Thank you. See you next time.